Welcome back to We Are All Mad Here.
Are we?
Yeah. I'm Jen.
I'm Haley.
And we've got our producer Lilith here with us today.
She's gonna try to keep us on track.
She's gonna try and keep us on track while she also tries to not fall asleep because being an emotional support cat is a lot of work.
It's emotionally exhausting for her.
Emotionally exhausted. She needs an emotional support cat.
Me. No, I come over.
You are her
She
emotional support
ignores
cat.
you.
She
She
does.
ignores
She
me.
does. Anytime somebody else is here, I am invisible. Everyone else is way better than I am.
Well, that's just facts in general.
Correct. But it's so funny because there's some people who are like, oh my gosh, I don't normally like cats and whatever. And I was like, yeah, but she's different.
She's special.
She's special. But yeah, she's dozing already. So we'll see how well our producer keeps us in line today. Probably not well. All right, so today we decided we want to talk about college, careers, work, how we got to
Where we're at.
this point in our lives as grown-ups, technically.
Yeah. By
Technically,
definition, yes.
by age, we are grown-ups, but we need adultier adults most of the time.
Yeah. Nobody likes adulting.
Nobody likes adulting. Apparently, it's a very millennial thing to say adulting.
That does not surprise me one bit.
Yeah, and not at all. But that's, I saw that, I think I saw that on TikTok or something. And they're like, only millennials say these whatever phrases, and it was, adulting was one of them. And I was like, oh, I like that one.
It's a good one.
It's making the adult a verb.
It absolutely, yeah.
You're verbifying. I don't know.
It's you're verbifying being an adult.
Yeah.
It is an act.
You're verbing.
Verbing.
You just add ing to any word,
Yes.
you are doing the verb.
Sounds like a dance move or something.
We should make it a dance move.
Doing the verb.
We can be TikTok famous with our dance move, the verb.
All right, we'll get on that.
All right. Stay tuned. Maybe we'll be TikTok famous for a dance move. Okay, yeah, so we're gonna talk about college and careers and all that jazz. So do you wanna tell your college story first, or do you want me to tell my college story first?
Mine's way more tame than yours.
Yours is more direct, so let's go with yours first,
Okay.
because mine might take a while, because there were lots of twists and turns and ups and downs and zigs and zags.
Definitely some loop-de-doops.
Some loop-de-doops as well.
Mine was pretty straight and narrow. Yeah. Well, let's just start with I felt like I didn't have any other option but to go to college,
Same.
even though I had no fucking clue what I wanted to do.
Correct.
I was one of those students that was kind of good at everything, but not like super into one thing.
Jack of all trades.
Yeah. So I was like, I don't know what the hell I want to do. So I knew I wanted to play music. So I did that. Played at Eastern on scholarship for a hot minute. Actually, all throughout. Yeah.
Yeah, because you had scholarship all
I
4 years, did you?
Actually, I had an academic scholarship all 4 years. My music scholarship, I only had for the first couple.
Okay.
Because then I stopped doing the whole.
Oh, that's true, you did.
Yeah, I had to take lessons. There was some stipulations of what
Yeah.
I had to do, and
And I think when you decided to declare is when, if I remember correctly,
I think I stopped.
is when
Yeah.
you stopped.
Yeah, that sounds right. So my first 2 years, two and a half. I was like, maybe I'll be a music teacher. And then I was like, imposter syndrome. I'm not good enough. Then, for a minute, I was like, I'm gonna go do environmental science because I love that shit.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah. And then I let society be like, oh, you can't get jobs with that. I was like, okay, never mind. So I went the realistic route. I was like, I'll do what my mom does. I'll go into human resources. And then I was like, stuck with that for a little bit, actually. And then I took some Geckers is what they called them back then, but like your required classes.
Mm-hmm.
Took geography. Don't laugh.
Continue.
And I fell in love, okay? It was love at first sight, okay?
Oh, the train!
The train! It was love at first sight, and I... Oh my goodness, that's loud.
The train goes right past sometimes, so...
Oh, wow.
We are going to pause for a second while the train passes.
The train.
And then...
I get weird.
And then we'll resume this after the train leaves. Because...
these messages.
After these brief messages.
Man, we're back.
And we're back. So, you took your geography.
Fell in love. Absolutely fell in love with it. So, I think like later that week, I was like, I know I'm going to declare my major. So, I did. And then the rest is history. So, goodbye.
Can I say something really quick, though? I remember when you told me that you were declaring for your major. And I was like, oh, my God, that's so exciting. What are you going to do? And you told me that you're majoring in geography. And I was like, bitch, what the fuck are you going to do with maps? What?
I'm making it.
I was so confused because I didn't know anything about what you could even do with a geography degree.
Mm.
But I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So looking back at that, like that reaction, I was like, what are you doing? Like, do we need to have an intervention right now? Like, are you okay? But, yeah, I just wanted to say that real quick because every time I think about it, I'm like, it reminds me of that moment. I was like, the fuck?
I love that. But, well, I mean, to be honest, I think when I declared, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this yet. I knew I wanted to do geography and I knew I wanted to do GIS. Geographic information. Just maps.
You wanted to be the map lady.
I wanted to be the map lady. And I knew, you know, there's so many different entities and things that use GIS. So I knew I was going to be okay. I just didn't know exactly what path I was going to take at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So then you declared.
I did.
And then you finished. You completed your degree.
I completed it in 4 years. I did it.
Wow.
In the time they tell you, which is almost impossible nowadays.
Yeah, especially if you change your major at all.
Yeah. Which once I declared, I didn't change.
That helps.
Yeah. I had taken enough. I think the biggest change, like when I had started doing the human resources route, I was taking a lot more math classes. And so that kind of veered me off the path.
Mm.
But then I got back on, was able to finish. Minored in anthropology and economics.
I mean, you had the credits, you might as well,
right?
One thing that I do like about Eastern is you don't have to declare until your third year. Because when I was in college, we had to declare when we started.
Really?
Yeah. So when we went and started the first day of freshman year, really, we had to declare our major.
Wow.
And so if you did change, it was a million more hoops to jump through and way more of a headache because you didn't have, like, yeah, there were some of the same basic classes that everybody had to take.
Right.
But not as many, like, I guess just true general
mm-hmm.
that could go anywhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, if say you want to be like a music major,
mm-hmm.
you start that route and then, no, this isn't for me. I'm going to go the engineering route. Those are totally two different
mm-hmm.
paths.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. I did not know that.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
It kind of was.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, your path was very straightforward.
For the most part, yeah. I mean, I did my work throughout that. think the thing that helped me get where I'm at is I was able to do an internship with the city and the public works department and do what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, I just kind of fit right into my current job.
Which is?
I do GIS. I'm a GIS editing specialist.
For the energy people.
The energy.
So it's specifically her fault when your energy bill sucks.
No, 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 please.
Everyone, okay. Send her hate mail. I'm just kidding. So, yeah, yours was very straightforward. You went to college, and you did your 4 years of college, and you got a degree and two minors, and you got a job.
Did the thing.
And joined the workforce as a grown-up.
As a grown-up.
My path was not like that. No. At all.
Do tell.
I actually had a Facebook memory come up of me getting my acceptance letter from the PT program and like being stoked.
I mean, it was exciting.
It was exciting back then, but yeah. Okay. So my story.
Little did you know.
Little did I know. So my story was at the time when I was finishing, really, I had said that this is going to be my plan since I was in fifth grade. I was going to be a physical therapist. I decided I was going to do it. And so I found a school that had a direct admit program. So basically, you apply for grad school as an incoming freshman. And so instead of doing 4 years undergrad and then applying somewhere and trying to get into grad school for your doctorate, you are pre-accepted. And it's basically 3 years undergrad. Your fourth year is kind of a crossover year where you start working on your doctorate. And then the last
doctorate or your master's?
Your doctorate.
Jeez.
And then your last 2 years are just straight doctorate work.
So you don't even do a master's?
No.
How does that work?
You don't have to have a master's to get a doctorate. It's true. You can just jump straight past master's if you feel the urge to do so.
Crazy.
Right. But at one point, not too long ago, actually, all physical therapists were masters of physical therapy. It was like you had to go to some sort of grad school, which was most of were master's programs. And then I don't remember exactly how many years before I started, but they changed it to a doctorate.
Okay.
So you had to have the doctorate of physical therapy rather than just the master's. And I don't... Fortunately, people who were already, like, in the field didn't have to, like, redo all their stuff. Because there are some people who... I don't know if there's any of them still around working anymore, but... I remember at one point talking to somebody who, when he went through school, it was just a regular bachelor's degree for physical therapy. And then they changed it to a master's, and then they changed it to the doctorate. So, side note, over. So I'd been pre-accepted to the direct admit program. So I was going to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. For 6 years was a plan.
It's a long time.
Long time. First year, absolute garbage. Horrible, horrible, horrible. I also learned that I do not like the winter. I thought I'd seen winter growing up here. I had not seen winter, like the Midwest. And so I came home after the first year, and I was like, I really don't want to go back to college. It was bullshit. And my parents were like, your first year is always hard. It'll get better.
which is true for a lot of
which people. For most people, freshman year does suck.
Yeah.
Because you're away from home for the very first time.
You don't know anybody.
A lot of times you're in, a completely different city or whatever with next to nobody. So, I mean, there are some schools where several people go, like Thomas, he went, there are several kids from his high school, like he didn't necessarily see them, but he knew they were there. That kind of thing. There was not a single soul from Spokane who went to Marquette. And so I was entirely alone.
It was also a very strange school because it was very cliquey.
Interesting.
It was very weird. So, like, there's freshman orientation the first few days before, like, classes start.
Mm-hmm.
The people that people met on, like, the first day or two of orientation,
yeah,
those were their friends.
I would say this very similar experience for me at Eastern.
And if you weren't one of those people they met in the first day or two, you were not invited to hang out with them or be in their friend group. It was very exclusive, clicky.
I take that back, yeah.
And I still kind of now, but especially then, I was not good at meeting people and making friends and talking to strangers,
mm-hmm.
because I was taught stranger danger. And you don't talk to people you don't know. but I just didn't meet really anybody. So I didn't have those friends at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
There were the guys that lived, I want to say they were just a floor or two above me. There's a group of guys that we all partied together. And they were my friends freshman year because all we did was party.
Yeah, you had a little too much.
I had a little too much fun.
I'm not under the thumb of my parents.
I was not under the thumb or the roof or umbrella or whatever phrasing you want to use. But yeah, I went a little buck wild in college. But then I was like, I don't want to go back. Really don't feel like it. No, thank you. And my parents were like, it'll be better. Second year is always better. Like, your roommates are people that you, like, met in your program, and it's going to be a better fit. Because my roommate freshman year also kind of sucked, which I think is just part of the freshman experience.
Yeah, mine sucked.
It's just having a shitty roommate.
Yeah.
If you didn't have a shitty roommate your freshman year of college, how does it feel to be God's favorite?
Right. I think mine also could, because I did literally nothing wrong, but I think she would probably say the same about me.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I remember her writing a very nasty note to me about how I was never there anymore, and she was offended and all this shit. And I was like, well, the room smells like ass, because she was on the track team, so she had multiple practices a day.
Just sweat.
No fault to her, but her sweaty clothes were everywhere. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
And then her boyfriend slept there every night, and she yelled at me because I kicked him out one morning because I was trying to get ready.
Yeah.
In my own room and not have to go fucking change in the bathroom.
Did you have private bathrooms?
No.
Yeah, we didn't either. There
was no private space except your room.
Uh-huh.
Like, I want my space.
Yes.
I have a boy in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I kicked him out.
Mm-hmm.
So that the thing was, she wasn't in there. It was just him sleeping in our room.
No, sir. You
should be at class or practice. He was just sleeping. And I was like, okay, no. Look, you need to go.
No, sir. You have your own room.
Mm-hmm.
Careful.
Yeah. So anyway, she hated me for that. But
I mean, that's a little different-ish. But
anyway, go on.
Continue. And so they're like, it'll be better. And I was like, okay, fine. It was not better.
It was a lie.
My mental health continued to spiral downwards. And eventually we found rock bottom. And then we found out rock bottom has a basement. And
what was your rock bottom?
That was winter break before going back for second semester.
Yep.
My big mental breakdown. One of many in my life. That I was like, I can't continue on this path. Cannot continue on my trajectory. And so I went back second semester, and we were trying to figure out some medications for my mental health. I also just was so checked out of school,
mm-hmm.
that I just didn't care about anything. I was just so numb,
mm-hmm.
in that point in my life. And then after school, got out that spring,
after finals, I got a lovely letter in the mail that politely requested I don't return.
Really?
Yep.
Because of grades?
Yep. They said, yeah, thank you, but no thank you. We don't want you here. And I was like, yeah, no, that checks out.
That tracks.
Yeah. So
how'd your parents take that letter?
Honestly, I don't remember. Like, so much of
it's blocked out.
Blank.
Yeah.
Just because my mental health was in literally the basement of rock bottom. Mental health fog is insane. And then later that summer, Dad and I took a 4-day road trip back to Milwaukee to collect all of my belongings. That was the longest and shortest 4 days of my life. It was just so much happened in the span of 4 days. Yeah. Also, we can go into that in another episode, but that was an eventful car ride. Again, apologies to my father for having to deal with me in mental breakdown mode on that car trip and being stuck in the car with me. But we made it home. We got all my stuff.
You both lived.
We both survived. And then I was home and my parents were like, all right, let's figure out what you're going to do.
More school.
More school was the answer.
Why not? It worked so great the first time.
Oh, I forgot. You reminded me of this the other while back. I completely forgot that I did this. Summer break between freshman and sophomore year, I took summer classes at Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
I completely forgot I did that.
Really?
Why I did that? Nobody knows. Can't figure it out.
Your parents made you.
I asked my dad and I was like, why did I do this? And he's like, I don't remember.
I remember you saying that your parents thought it would be a good idea to take summer classes because you could get a jump on whatever it was.
I mean, maybe.
Next year's.
Again, brain fog. I have no recollection of it. But yeah, I also took classes at Gonzaga. So go Zags. Did you watch the game the other night, by the way?
No.
They played much better. They're getting there.
Much gooder.
Much gooder.
Mm-hmm.
So I came home and they're like, okay, what are we going to do? Like, we need to figure this out. And at the community college, they had a health and fitness technician program, which was essentially a fancy way of saying personal training.
Yep.
And they're like, yeah, we also have this program where we can help you transfer your remaining credits or the credits you obtain to Eastern for their exercise science program, which is what I was initially majoring in, in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, perfect. It's like a twofer. I can work as, whoa, she's got the Zooms over there. Our producer is awake, guys.
Yep, she isn't. She didn't fall asleep at all.
She didn't this time. But I was like, perfect. I can get my personal training due. Because at one point I thought about doing more of the athletic training, physical therapy side of things. There's more sports side versus like just post-operative dealing with old people or even like inpatient like stuff in hospitals. I was like, that's not really my jam. So I was definitely leaning more towards the sports medicine side of things. So I was like, perfect. I had worked with a strength and conditioning coach in high school. So I was like, I know how to lift. Tommy BK, he was down at Rockwood. When I was doing some like not unofficial, not shadowing at the PT clinic.
I remember what
you- because I was a minor.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure it was the summer before freshman year.
I really stopped.
I did. I loved my physical therapist so much. I wanted to hang out with her all the time. I still do. Love her to death. I worked with him summer before my freshman year of high school. I mean, freshman year of college. Not high school, college. And so I had
literally just hung out with high school and college athletes all summer.
Yeah.
Working out. Had a blast. And I was like, maybe I'll go down that kind of route. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll do the community college, do the health and fitness technician program.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll transfer to Eastern, mm-hmm. finish, and then I'll reapply to grad school somewhere and get my doctorate.
And at this point, we're already into year three.
Correct.
What would be school.
Correct. This was beginning of year three. And so I was like, all right, let's do this. So I started. And some of the classes themselves, most of them were pretty good. The instructor was, or the director of the program, who has also taught most of the classes, like mm-hmm. program classes, was a wackadoo. Psycho man. He had very strong beliefs about certain things, and I'm like, sir, scientifically you are wrong. Like wrong. Yeah. Milk doesn't make your bones weak, sir. And so there were certain things that I backwards, and we got into it a couple of times because I was like, you're wrong. You are teaching incorrect information that is harmful and dangerous.
Yeah.
And I would go home and I'd be like, Dad, guess what he was teaching today? And we would go and find like true articles and studies and be mm-hmm. and I would print them out and bring them in. And I was like, slam it on his table and be like, bitch, look at this. You are wrong. Price is wrong. But yeah, so that was interesting. I had already taken a lot of those types of classes.
Yeah.
And it was just something I had been interested in for so long that a lot of it was stuff I already knew.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to a buddy from that program recently, and he's like, I thought you were... So this instructor, there were a handful of people who thought his word was gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And everything he said was, like, the most accurate and important information you'll ever receive in your life. Which was wrong. And so he was like, yeah, I seriously thought that you were like one of his little minions and like this, that, and the other. And he's like, you just were so smart. You knew all the answers. Like, I thought that you were like a goody two shoes, like this, that, and the other. And I was like, bruv, like, first of all, I wanted to bash this dude's head in like every other day because he was a dummy teaching stupid things.
But also you and goody two shoes should not be in the same sense.
But also, apparently I have an innocent look from what I hear.
Yeah.
Maybe less so now, but what, especially then, I looked like a good kid.
Yeah.
Thanks to the way my mom dressed me by picking and buying my clothes for me. But I was like, no, I was not a fan of his. I would have thrown hands with that man in a heartbeat if he had offered me the chance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could have taught most of those classes. And so it got to a point where, again, I was just burnt out, done, didn't care.
Because you were also working at Petco.
So I had been working at Petco for a while. Because I started working at Petco after my freshman year in the summer.
And after sophomore.
Yeah. So I started Petco after freshman year. After sophomore year, I worked there for a year and a half. So through the summer. So I started again in the summer after second year. I worked through the summer. I worked that whole next school year. And then I started into the summer of after our third year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, I'm going to get a job as a personal trainer.
Right.
Which is when I went to the manager at Petco. And I told her ahead of time. I was like, hey, I'm applying for jobs that are like more career specific. I just want to give you a heads up. It's nothing against you guys. It's not the other. So I went in and I was like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, I got this job. And she's like, okay, cool. And you're fired. Like, completely joking. And as a customer was walking, we were in the middle of the floor at Petco.
Yeah.
And she's like, and you're fired. Like, so sassy. And if you actually were like listening to like the inflection, you would know she was joking. And I was like, yes, thank you. And this customer walks past as we're like having this interaction. And she's like, I'm just kidding. Like, I didn't actually fire her. And I was like, oh my God, that could have been so bad.
Oh, my goodness.
But so yeah, that's when I went to work at the gym as a personal trainer. And I first interviewed at the location up by the house because I don't remember how I met the manager up there. If it was just because I was working out there and I just had been chatting with him, I don't remember exactly how it all played out. But I interviewed with him up there and then I got a call from him and he was like, hey, they're transferring me down to the downtown location. I want you to come down here with me. I was like, all right, bet. So then I went to the downtown location, which was a completely different vibe than the other ones. Because it was middle of downtown on the second floor above P.F. Chang's, which that
very weird location.
It is a weird location. R.I.P. to Downtown Move Fitness because it is no longer closed down a while back. But I worked as a trainer there for a year, I believe. Year and a half, maybe. And I was like, all right, I don't care about this program. I wasn't sure at that point if I wanted to do physical therapy still. It was still a thought, but I wasn't like totally 100% committed to it. And so at that point, I got the job at the physical therapy clinic. And I worked at the clinic for a little while. As I was working full-time at the gym. No, I was in school full-time. School full-time, I think. Work full-time. And then a part-time job at the gym still. Because when I quit, they wouldn't let me quit. So instead of training, I moved to working the front desk. For like 2 days a week or 3 days.
Or something like that, yeah.
Which I didn't mind. I really didn't mind doing the front desk, receptionist, whatever. And then I worked at the PT clinic for a while. And then I was like, I can't do school right now. Like, I didn't have the spoons.
No.
So I took a break from school and I just worked for a while. And then my parents were like, okay, you need to figure out what you're doing with your life. And I was like, okay, well, let's try online college. Maybe that's going to be the route. And I was like, maybe I want to do healthcare administration. And so I was like, I'll major in healthcare administration.
And was that Governors?
Western Governors. Yeah. WGU.
Which is actually a really, like, you can go at your own pace.
Yeah. Class, like, how the school works is great.
Yeah.
I want to say it's 6 month terms.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's basically however much you get through in those 6 months. It's like you're supposed to do a minimum of, I think, like 3 classes, but if you do more, cool. If not,
right.
If you do the 3, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
I did one term of that, and I was like, I can't do online. Cannot
do online.
I was like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, and then tomorrow would come, and I would have a billion things to do that I, again, put off.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing would ever get done, ever, because I am the queen of procrastination. And so I was like, all right, I did the one term of that. I was sitting, looking at myself in the mirror, and I was like, I am almost 25 years old, and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing with my life.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't happy in the direction I was going. I was struggling in the direction I was going.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what am I going to do? Like, I can't keep going this way. I need to figure something out.
Yeah.
I don't know what exactly inspired me to do this, but I set an appointment to go down to the beauty school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just going to tour it and just go look, see what they had, see what it was. And I went.
You've always been like
very much into.
I was a beauty care and makeup girl.
Makeup and
yeah.
Oh yeah. You already had experience with cutting, you know, dogs and stuff.
Yeah. But I didn't know. I didn't think I would make it. I thought it was just like a hobby ish.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I like putting makeup on, but can I do it on other people? I don't know. I can cut dog's hair. I'm sure I could cut a person's hair. And so I went to the school and I was like, you know what? I'm doing it. I enrolled that day. I went home and filled out my FAFSA and got all my financial aid squared away.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to the United States government for loaning me money so I could do that. Unfortunately, I will be paying you back.
Unfortunately.
And, but if you want to give us a break, I would really appreciate that.
I'm not going to complain.
Please help. We're poor. But yeah, I went home and I got it all squared away. And then I was like, oh, by the way, mom and dad, I'm going to beauty school. And they're both like, what?
I remember when you told me and I was so happy for you because obviously I've been with you on this journey.
You've been following along.
Good tickets. Spark notes. I just remember being so happy for you. And I was like, this makes sense. Like, I already knew that it was something that, even if you thought it was a hobby, it was something that you were passionate about. And I was like, this is what.
Yeah. And like, I think I would, like, when I was still like in school, I would joke with my parents, is like, I'm going to drop out and go to beauty school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to like.
It was always a long running joke.
It was a joke.
Yeah.
It was.
Especially when you got the job at Petco.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was like, what's the difference between a poodle and a person? A poodle and a Pomeranian and a person. That's a lot of peas.
It's a lot of
peas. Havanese and a human.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. I can cut hair. I can cut hair. Hair's hair.
Hair's hair.
And then I did. And my parents are like, excuse me, what? And I said, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm doing this. Like, this is happening. And they're like, well, you're going to be poor for the rest of your life. You're not going to be able to afford anything because you won't make any money. And I was like, well, oh, well. If I am content at work and I can pay my bills. And so my philosophy since becoming an almost adult is if you can pay your bills, you enjoy your work most days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not going to love your job every day. But if most days you're happy to go to work, you're winning.
Yes.
If you can afford to pay your bills, you enjoy most days, and you can go on vacation every so often, you've made it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, I don't know what all you would need other, like, outside of that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's nice to buy yourself a fancy purse every once in a while, but that's also not me. So, and so I was like, okay, well, if I don't make money, that's my choice, I suppose.
I've made my bed.
I've made my bed. I am going to take a long snooze in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that. And I was back working at Petco,
mm-hmm,
for a little while because I had quit at the PT clinic. And so I just needed something super part-time because school was full-time. Fortunately, my parents were gracious enough to let me move back into the house, because I couldn't work full time and pay my bills.
And my roommate situation.
And my roommate situation. That was a whole nother deal. And so I was like, okay, cool. Like, we got this. And then I was working for a while, and then I got fired from Petco because the manager didn't like me from the last time I worked there, because I don't even know why, honestly. There was so much to happen there.
Is that the one that ended up with Sean?
Yeah, the one who,
yeah,
she dated my ex after he and I broke up, even though he swore they were just friends. It was one of those.
Well, you got the dog.
But at the end of the day, I got the dog.
Yeah.
And so
there was a lot of resentment, I think.
I think there was a lot there. But I was fired from there, and I was like, all right, well, maybe I just won't work. And I was like, no, I gotta work.
So there's a Facebook page where stylist of Spokane, and I was like, hey, does any salons anywhere need a receptionist or anything like super part-time? I'm in school, this, that, and the other. And I got a message from the recruiter at Grey Clips, and she was like, hey, we're hiring. And I was like, of course you are, it's Grey Clips. And
great.
She was like, why don't you like come in and interview and whatever. So I interviewed at the location up on 57th by the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I mean, it's a job, I just need something. And so I got a call from the manager in Airway Heights, and she's like, hey, I want you to come out here and interview.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I'm also the manager of the West area. So she oversaw Cheney, South Hill, Airway, and I think it was Mission Ruby at the time. I don't remember. And I was like, all right, sure, whatever. So I went in, interviewed, and she was like, we'd love to have you as our receptionist. I was like, sure, it's a job.
Sure.
I need money. I can reception.
Right. Easy enough.
Easy. Sweep up the hair, fold the capes, fold the towels, check people in, answer the phone.
Perfect.
The end. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I told you this or not, but after my first day receptioning there, I like sat in my car afterward and I was like, there's no way in hell I can work here. No way. I was like, this will be to get me through school and then I'll be looking elsewhere.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. I was like, I
went about it.
I don't know exactly what it was. It was busy, super fast paced.
Yep.
But I don't know, just something about, I think just because Grey Clips has such a stigma of chop shop.
Right.
That I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna be associated with that, like this, whatever. And so I was like, well, I've got to work, so we're just gonna stick it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that for a while. And then I was getting ready to finish school. And then the world shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And I had 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
3 days worth of hours left to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, son of a motherfucker. So we went 12 weeks. All of the schools were closed. All of the salons were closed. Everything. And I was going McFrickin'
bonkers.
Crazy, dude.
Mm-hmm.
One, because I was so close to finishing. Like, I was, at that point, I was committed. I was going to be working there.
Right.
And I was like, I just want to do the thing. And so, finally.
Long buildup.
It was a long buildup. And so, finally, we reopened. I was, as they called, hair traffic control, which I still giggle about that name all the time. But I was a person that sat at a nice little table out front of the building, and I took your name and put you on our list. And I was like, it's going to be about 3.5 hours. Please wear your mask. I'll call you when we're ready. And I did that for 3 weeks. And then we kind of went our, because everyone and their mom's everybody needed a haircut.
Oh, yeah.
When we reopened.
Looking wild.
There were some wild haircuts that came in afterwards. But I was just doing my thing. And then my assistant manager was leaving for a career change. And they're like, we don't have an assistant manager. Who can do all of these duties? And they're like, Jen can do all of these duties. Mm-hmm. She's just the receptionist. She's got time. And I was like, I'm not even licensed. Why am I doing these things? And so I was acting as an assistant manager while I was still a receptionist, unlicensed, getting licensed.
Unlicensed and unhinged.
Unlicensed and unhinged. Trying to get the testing and licensing done after COVID was such a nightmare.
I remember, like, you telling me.
Everything was so backed up.
Mm. Like, I was scheduled to test for my licensing test on March 31st. So I had been scheduled and paid for.
Right. Before the world shut down.
Before the world shut down. And then the world shut down. And they're like, oh, sorry. We don't know when we're going to be able to get you in or get you rescheduled. I was like, what do you mean? I have a job waiting for me.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, they reopened and I was able to test and get licensed at the end of August. So, yeah, it was a trek. And then middle of September, I got licensed. And
she did it. She did it.
I made it.
If you're still hanging on, she did it.
I did. TLDR, she made it. And then my home life got turned upside down 2 days after I got licensed.
Are you serious?
Yeah, she went in 2 days after I got licensed.
I did not realize that.
It was a Tuesday. I got licensed Monday or Tuesday and then Thursday. And that's another conversation.
Oh.
Mom, that we'll get into later. Yeah, it was 2 days after. Because I worked all through that weekend. Because my dad was like, there's nothing for you to do. Like, go to work. Like, try and stay busy.
And it was still, like, COVID times.
It was COVID times. That first weekend, like, most people, when you start out. So, Great Clips has standards for what they want you to average your haircut times to be.
Yeah.
It's not every single haircut has to be 14 minutes long. But throughout the course of the day, they want you to be around that time.
Right.
That first weekend, I was averaging like 13, 14 minutes. The stylists that I have hired since managing, that when they first start, are average between 30 and 45.
Oh, wow.
I was averaging 13.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. But I was just, I can't remember what day it was. I think it was Saturday. I did like 25 or 26 haircuts that day. Like, I don't think I probably did stop for lunch, but I didn't stop all weekend because I was trying to keep busy and keep my mind going.
Yep.
But yeah, I think I did 25 or 26 haircuts that very first weekend. And my haircut times were in standards. And everyone was like, how is she doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know. It's because I'm fantastic and amazing. And the best there ever was.
Sure.
The GOAT. I'm the Tom Brady of Great Clips. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. And so, yeah, then shortly after that, I got, what's the word I'm looking for? Promoted. To assistant manager. And then.
2 months.
Promoted. After that, my manager was like, hey, there's a position open for management. You should apply. I was like, I really don't want to go out to that location. Like, there are some weird situations that happened with one of the ladies who work there. And I was like, I don't know if that's going to work for me. Blah, blah, blah. She's like, just apply. It's going to be fine. I was like, okay, fine. So I applied. And they're like, here's the day and time of your interview. And I was like, okay, cool. So I go to my interview. And I'm looking back. I'm pretty sure I'm the only one that applied. I'm pretty sure I was the only one who applied. But they're like, yeah, so when you start, when you're managing this location, when you're doing this, I was like, what do you mean when? What? Because when I interviewed, I had been licensed for 5.5 months.
Yeah.
When I interviewed.
For management.
Yeah, and I have now been managing at my location for almost 3 years.
That's insane.
Which is bananas to think about.
That's incredible.
May 1 will be 3 years. Which also, being a Great Clips, is the longest I've ever stayed at a job.
That's insane.
Because the longest I'd stayed at a job before was 2 years.
Okay.
Which was about how long I like survived in each school-ish.
Yeah.
So that's when things got shifted up and mixed up. But yeah, it was 5 years, I want to say in June.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 years at my location in May.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And now I am also one of our social media managers. And
go follow her on TikTok.
Go follow us on TikTok and Instagram. It's fun.
I don't even know if I follow you on it. That's bad. I don't know about
Instagram. I need to start doing more on Instagram because for a while I didn't do any of the Instagram stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then my other half, she was like, no, you can do some of that. Like, it's I've got more other things that I need to do. And I was like, cool. So I just need to start doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But do follow me on TikTok. Drake Lips Spokane. It's fun. I enjoy it. Honestly, I have a blast with it. It's a very different way of being creative that I enjoy.
Nice.
Yeah, so my story was much more zigs and zags.
Yeah.
But we both made it.
Yep.
Because how long have you been at the energy company now?
At the energy company? Let's see. I started in 2016.
Okay.
Seven years. It'll be 8 years. Yeah, the end of this year. My first three years, I was a contractor.
Which, does everybody start as a contractor, or how does that work?
No, so they use contractors when have like a surplus of work and we need extra work, but we don't necessarily plan on holding on to that person, you know, for a long-term plan.
Yeah.
And also, in their eyes, it's cheaper because they don't have to pay benefits and retirement and all of that thing.
Which makes sense.
Mm-hmm. However, my group, the work is just never ending. And so I stuck around. Contract kept getting renewed.
There's lots and lots of maps.
And it didn't help that we had a retirement happen. And we just couldn't get the approval for to replace that position.
Oh.
They're like, oh, you have a contractor. You guys are fine.
Oh.
And then we hired another contractor. And then we had another person announce their retirement. So they weren't gone yet.
Uh-huh.
And so we finally got the approval to replace
the first one
and this next upcoming one.
Oh.
And so that's when I got my
full-time
spot. 19. Yeah, it was a wild emotional ride. Yeah. At the time, it was okay because I wasn't 26. So I was still on my parents' insurance.
Yeah.
Thank you, government.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my voice is getting super hoarse all of a sudden. 2019. I got on permanently, and then I became a senior person in my group in 21.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Your promotion.
I got promoted. So it was pretty cool. My boss was awesome, because usually to get into that promotion, you have to have been working for 5 years. And she was able to work it, so they counted my contract years. Yeah,
that's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
That they were able to do that.
Yeah,
because I mean, you were working.
I was doing literally the exact same job.
It's not that you were doing anything different. It was just who we're was paying you benefits.
Exactly. Yeah. Who was paying me?
Yeah,
so
that's crazy.
Yeah. And I love it.
You and your maps.
You and my maps.
Map girly.
Mm-hmm. It's perfect
with your cat named after maps.
Atlas. And Oslo. Did I tell you the story of naming him?
I don't know if you did or not. I mean, probably, but
when I made the decision of I'm going to adopt this cat.
Your Oslo man.
Oh, boy. I was standing on my bed talking to my friend Leah.
To Leah.
I haven't seen her in a long time.
I know. We haven't talked.
I know.
You haven't told me about her.
I know. I hadn't talked to her. Literally hadn't just talked to her in a long time. We're Snapchatting a little bit more, which makes me happy.
I love that.
Yeah. But I was talking to her on the phone. Yeah. Maybe I was talking to you.
I don't remember.
I thought it was Leah. Anyway, I think it was Leah because she was coming to visit me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm going to have a cat when you come and visit.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I'm looking at a map, of course.
Of course.
And I'm like, I'm going to name him a capital of something.
Wow. So original.
And you know what? To be fair, I never named Atlas. That was Michael who named Atlas.
That's fair.
And he named him also, one, because I love maps, but also two, he's like, Atlas is either going to live up to his name and be like the Greek mythological Atlas, or it's going to be hilarious. He's going to be tiny in his name.
It's ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Continue.
So I didn't name him.
Well,
no.
I know, but it's still because of you. He was named.
True. True.
So Oslo, I was looking at a map and I'm going over capitals and then I get to Norway.
Norway.
Oslo is the capital. In case you didn't know, here's your geography lesson.
And I said it and I was like the sound of that.
From Professor Haley.
You know, I always thought if I were to change career paths, I would love to be a college professor and teach geography.
Oh my God.
I would.
Such a nerd.
I would live and die happily.
I love that so much. I love that so much. I've got my friend who's working on his PhD right now. I was like, and I always tease him about being a nerd. And I was like, you just can't give up on school. It's like, you just can't quit it.
Yeah, the problem.
No, and he was like, yeah, I know. It's like, you are such a nerd. It's like, it's okay. I like it.
I do miss learning. There was a minute after, was it after COVID? After, well, I mean, COVID is still a thing. But I was like, I'm going to go back and do my master's.
Yep, I remember that.
And financially, it just,
no.
My work is very generous and offers some, like, financial
assistance.
Yeah, not necessarily assistance, but they'll pay for part of your school.
That's assistance.
Think of, like,
that's financial aid.
That's right. Anyway, a repayment type of thing.
Yeah.
They'll give you money for your grades and your, you know,
yeah,
partial credits.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so minuscule into what school costs.
Mm-hmm. Like,
there's no way.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe future.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, there's always a chance.
Yeah.
You never know.
Part of it was like, so I'm not going to go do my master's in GIS. It doesn't make sense. I already have my degree in that.
Yeah.
So it was, what do I go and do my master's in? And a lot of people are like, oh, you go and do it in business administration, or there's like a leadership degree through Gonzaga, stuff like that.
Yeah. But it's, which is more like the administrative side of
management and things like that. It's like, I don't know. And I was like, the only thing that I would be really, really, really passionate about at this point would be teaching.
Yeah.
And that is just like a whole nother ballpark of school. So
Here
I am, not doing school, but I am working my way up in the leadership realm.
In your department?
Yeah. In the energy department.
In the energy world? Yeah. I mean, every so often, Dad will be like, you know, you could still go back and get your degree. You know, you could still go back to college. And I'm like, first of all, if I were to go back, it would be for a business management or something or other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't teach me how to manage people more than I've already figured out. Just do
more than actual experience. Yeah.
And at this point in my life and career, it really doesn't matter if I have a degree or not.
No.
Because I'm already doing the job.
Exactly.
And also in the beauty industry, most places don't care.
But I want your experience.
Yeah, it's more about the experience. And they don't even care, like, in a management type role.
Yeah.
If you have any business business experience. But also, if I wanted to, like, start my own business, there's Google. I'll just look it up. I'll wing it like I do everything else in my life. But yeah, I remember, like, when we were first going, like, this is like middle of high school, and it's like, what do you want to do when you grow up? It's like, I don't make freaking know.
Oh,
absolutely. But it was also like, so where are you going to college?
Yeah.
And that was the question for everybody, was where are you going to college? Not what do you want, like.
And it was, we're talking like, it was a 4-year college. Nobody, the stigma behind 2-year colleges, technical schools, any sort of, if it wasn't a 4-year college, you were nothing.
Yeah. So what
wrote you off?
What I remember is they're like, 4-year university, get your degree.
Yeah.
Or if you're poor,
go to the 2-year for 2 years, save a little bit of money, and yeah. then go to the 4-year so you have your 4-year degree. And I don't know if this is how you remember it, but I feel like I remember them basically saying, like, you just need a degree and you can get a pretty good job.
Yep.
Yeah,
once you have that degree, the world is yours.
Yeah.
Which I hate.
And
it's disgusting.
And I think at one point, what, the oyster?
Yeah.
Oh.
The world being your oyster. Your oyster.
Your oyster.
It's gross.
Because oysters are gross?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. I mean, they are kind of slimy.
The world's your slimy oyster.
Slimy oyster. But I think there was a point in time, A, there weren't as very many people with college degrees. So having that, you could very easily go to a company and get a management type position and be comfortable
yeah.
with your family of four, your nuclear family, husband, wife, son and daughter, mom stays home and takes care of the kids with your golden retriever.
With your golden retriever. In your 2-story house in the suburbs.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that was very much how things were portrayed to us, yep. is you get a degree. It doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily have to be something you want to do, like, your career in, but having a degree.
Yeah, you were not successful unless you had a college degree.
Yeah.
That is what stigma, that's what was forced down our throats.
Yeah. And also, like, no matter what degree you had, you could get a job doing anything.
Yeah.
And you could get a decent job doing most things, unless it's, like, STEM.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, if you want to be an engineer, you got to have an engineering degree. If you want to do medicine, you have to have, like, certain things. But it's, like, for most everything else, it was a degree.
Yeah.
That was a lie.
It was a lie.
Yeah.
I don't think I learned that lie until probably my junior year when I started looking into my field
uh-huh.
and seeing what requirements
yeah.
needed for an entry-level job. And it was like, no, you 5 years experience to the
yeah.
entry-level job.
Yeah.
And yes, some were good about saying, or equivalent
yeah.
college
mm-hmm.
education classes, things mm-hmm. like that.
Which I think there are certain things where it's like, yeah, you need X amount of experience or education.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that just baffle me, like, they're posted online. Who knows how accurate and real they actually are. But it's like, you need a master's degree and, yeah. like, 4 years of experience in this specific
field. Yep.
And it's, like, an entry-level job paying, like, poverty wages, basically.
Right.
It sounds extreme, and like mm-hmm. people are like, oh, there's no way that's real. Like, to a point, it is.
Yes.
It
might have been a little dramatized, but
it was, yeah, they played it up some, but there are definitely a lot of things, like a lot of openings and stuff out there that are like that.
Yeah.
But also, nobody talked about the trades.
No. Nope. And it wasn't until, so my mom being in the school district, I think it was a couple years after we had started, like, our college
mm-hmm.
Educations, was the school district implemented what they call the T24 program, mm-hmm. where they aimed to get every kid, you know, most kids in either a technical college, mm-hmm. a 2-year college, or a 4-year college.
Yeah.
And they also implemented all of these different programs in high school that were not available to us,
mm-hmm.
Whether it was going and working at the mechanic shop that they now have for school, for, like, public schools.
Yeah.
And, or working at, there was all these different.
So they had, what was it called? There was a tech.
Yeah.
It was like a tech school in high school kind of a thing, but you had to have all of your credits done to even be considered to go.
Yes.
Plus, like, for me, I was on the smart kid track.
Mm-hmm.
I was in AP classes and everything. Plus, with the few electives I wanted to do, like band,
mm-hmm.
like, that's I didn't have time to go do something like that, even if I wanted to.
No. Oh, and if you weren't in an AP class, you were considered stupid.
Well, you were. Like,
you were.
No, but our school, I think, was kind of weird, though. It was like,
yeah,
it was very much
extremes.
Very much extremes. It was, there was the smart kids in the AP classes, and there were the quote unquote dumb kids in the non-AP classes.
There, yeah.
But there was no crossover.
There's also a correlation to family income at that.
Socioeconomic classes?
Yes.
Wow, that's so strange how it happens like that.
Right? That school was very on the extreme.
100%.
On either end.
Yes. And I was on the higher end of both aspects. Because
the dumb side and the smart?
No. The socioeconomic. Because dad did good. Dad did good. Yes. We were comfortable. I mean, we probably could have. So the thing is, my parents are very frugal. And also, we were raised not like we could just get anything we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It was, if you want something, maybe, but not just because you want it and because you can.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're my dad and you just want to buy yourself a new car, you do that.
Yep.
And he does. We have a barn
full of them.
No, but I mean, he uses all of his cars. So it's not like, and they all have a job. They're all specific.
It just cracks me up. It's like Barbie.
He is.
For cars.
It's his Barbie cars. That is Barbie.
Yep.
Hi, Barbie. Anyways, I was like, there was also no crossover between the quote unquote smart kids and the quote unquote dumb kids. Like, there was very little.
I was the crossover.
But there wasn't much.
No.
I
dipped my toe in both worlds.
Yeah, but like, but also I think part of it was familial pressure as well, because people, I mean, it probably is like a socioeconomic thing.
It absolutely is.
Where it's like, we were told, like, I really don't think I had an option to do AP honors, AP or whatever. It was like, that's just what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was a gifted kid.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading at very high levels when I was in elementary school.
Mm.
I was smart, apparently. Once upon a time.
You had a family that would read to you at night.
That's what they say.
So it feels to be privileged.
That is privilege.
It is.
It really is. It's so sad.
It absolutely is. It's very correlated to socioeconomic. Like, it's,
yeah,
I look at the definition. It's very heartbreaking.
It really is. But I want to know what people are doing nowadays with their kids, because I can guarantee you some of the people we know,
mm-hmm,
that are our age with children,
mm-hmm,
they're not reading to their children. What is going to happen with those children? Because there's a bunch of them. They're all the iPad babies.
This next generation is going to be interesting, because a lot of them have started school during COVID,
uh-huh,
which was just wild to begin with.
Or like, just not even necessarily starting school with COVID, but just like, right, in the mix, starting a life in COVID, being a toddler in COVID.
Yeah.
And then,
oh, yeah,
now that the world is opening up some, having, right, to figure out how to go to school and whatever, after being with your parents
social
24/7,
mm-hmm,
with your iPad in front of you.
Yeah.
Like, what?
And be social with all of these other
humans.
And, yeah.
And children. Yeah. It's going to be crazy to see. Add that to the list of reasons why I'm not having children.
I will say, though, I do love how much education has changed, in the sense that there's so much more options for those students that don't have as much.
Mm-hmm.
They have an entire program for teen mothers where they go there while they're pregnant. They have, once they have their baby, they have the
daycare
and child care.
That's,
while they're still going to school.
That's nice.
And the kids are there with, mm-hmm, them.
That is
like, unheard of.
We don't want teen pregnancies and
no,
whatever, but obviously it happens. Yeah.
Like having exactly. that option is huge.
Right. Instead of turning a blind eye and shoving those, you know, the people that did, shoving them in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's like, let's find.
What kind of solution?
A solution to help this person be successful.
Yeah.
Because why shouldn't you be successful?
Exactly. But also, like, again, I don't think they even talked about trades.
No.
Especially in the AP track.
Right.
Because we were all essentially college bound.
I mean, if you have a class that you have to take called college prep.
Yeah.
And that everybody had to take that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is wild to me to think that we're not going to teach you about taxes that
no.
literally every single human being has to do. But
let's do square dancing. It's a meme on the internet.
Oh.
Some PE doesn't teach anything, but they have square dancing. They won't teach you taxes. Teach you square dance in PE.
I loved PE.
I did too. I was a PE kid for sure.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I love the way education is turning. And
in certain aspects.
Certain aspects, yes, absolutely.
Some of the content of education.
Yeah.
That can be a different conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was basically, if you're poor, you go to the community college for 2 years.
Right.
Save money.
Or you work at McDonald's. Like, it was literally the extreme.
Yeah, it was so black and white for what your options were.
Yeah.
It was, you go to college and you get a good job and whatever, or you're going to be flipping burgers.
Yeah.
Or homeless because
yep.
you don't have a job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy what was preached at us.
And
to think that was used as like a threat, like, oh, you're going to be working in a restaurant your whole life, or you're going to be.
There's people out there who are making boku fucking yeah. bucks as servers and bartenders and everything. And
absolutely.
Like, I was talking.
Mixology or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's bartending.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was talking to a client the other day. He was like, yeah, I have like a business degree in whatever, like a good career that he could go into.
Right.
He's like, I make way more money bartending.
Yeah.
Than I ever could.
Yep. When I went to Germany, we took it was called a walking tour, but our tour guide at the end, you tip them.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to school. He was an American that moved to Germany,
mm-hmm.
became a citizen or resident, whatever, so that he could get schooling paid mm-hmm. for. He was going to school to be basically a brain surgeon.
Damn.
And he had like a job in a lab.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of his jobs, but he made more money doing the touring
mm-hmm.
and doing the tour guide stuff.
Well, and especially in like the service industry, providing a service rather mm-hmm. than like customer service
yeah.
industry, you can make damn good money on tips.
Yeah, absolutely. But the fact that it was used as like a threat, and I'm like, okay, Helen, where did you stop before you came to school today? You
yeah.
probably stopped at freaking Starbucks.
Yeah, exactly. And who made your coffee?
Exactly.
Like, somebody's got to do it.
Mm.
But then also, it's, yeah, I don't know. It's just so crazy to think. But then because I think they told everybody you have to have a college degree.
Yeah.
Everybody went and got a college degree.
Right.
And now the job market is so oversaturated with all of these people with college degrees, but we don't have plumbers and electricians
right.
and hairstylists and whatever else, welders.
Yep.
Anyone, any of the unions are all like the steel worker, iron worker,
blue collar.
Anything blue collar. I'm a blue collar worker. Me and my Carhartt.
You love you some blue collar workers.
I do love me some. It's a weakness, man. I can't. I don't know what's wrong with me. It's because I too am a blue collar worker of America.
Blue collar gal.
I am Rosie the Riveter.
Rosie the Riveter with her sassy cat.
With my sassy cat. But yeah, it's just crazy how there are so many more options in.
Yep.
the world for careers and work and school that, well, I mean, people even going to another country to go to school.
Yeah.
Like,
Why didn't they tell me that was an option?
Right?
I want to go to Japan to go to school.
You would say Japan.
I have wanted to go to Japan for so long, dude. It is a goal. One day,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go. But, or even Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Sweden. Switzerland. Oh, the producer's about to fall asleep. She's getting comfy.
Getting comfy.
She was doing her producer zoomies for a bit. I don't know if y'all listening in could hear her. We'll have to find out when we
her
do
color is quite loud.
Do the playback. But oh my gosh, ferocious. She's attacking. Murder. She's so funny. She doesn't like bite down. She just like gnaws on you a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, it's crazy.
Ow. And it's my veins.
But how everyone goes on their own path. Your path was more straightforward.
It was. And it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Yours was zigzag.
But it also worked out. Yeah. But I mean, like in my family, theirs was very straightforward.
Yeah.
And it also worked out.
It also worked out. There's no right or wrong way.
I mean, there could be a wrong way.
Yeah. Probably. But if you get to where you want to be.
Yeah.
Then.
There is a wrong way, but there is no right way.
There's no right way. There you go. Yeah.
There could be a wrong way, but there is no right way.
I mean, some could argue that yours was maybe a little, but.
But I got there. TLDR, she made it. Too long, didn't read. I had to look it up one time.
Because
I see it on, like, Reddit and whatever. It's like.
Makes sense.
It's like TLDR. It's like full thing, and it's like TLDR, whatever, little brief. Summary of the thing. Have you never seen that?
No.
Oh my gosh.
All of those. You know how long it took me to realize what is it? Shaking my head or whatever that acronym? SMH?
Yeah, SMH.
I did not know what that meant.
Somebody
said it out loud and I'm like, that's disgusting.
SMH?
Mm-hmm.
They said it like that? Like, they say LOL?
Yeah.
Apparently that's a millennial thing too.
All.
it is. It's such a millennial thing. We invented it. We invented LOL.
No, we invented the saying laughing out loud. The generation before us, it used to mean lots of love.
Okay, that's fair. But they didn't. We use it in text messaging.
Yes.
Because we started texting. Ish. I don't know.
No, because they still did snail mail and emails.
Well, I know they did snail mail and emails.
Maybe they.
But would they put it? But see, my thing is. Is she gnawing on you again?
Oh.
She's
looking up at me.
Like, when you were writing letters,
yeah.
You were writing everything out. I think in emails, even, most things were written out. In texting, there were character limits. Also, so everything was shortened down.
You know what? We're going to look up what the origin of LOL is. And
we're going to add that for next week's episode.
Yeah.
Some of the origin stories of our favorite acronyms. They're like superheroes. It'll be the Marvel Universe of text
shorthand.
We can make a whole thing about it.
Mm.
Could be interesting.
Could be.
But...
Yeah.
I think that's the podcast.
It's a podcast.
I definitely ran out of things to talk about in that one.
Mm. Like you did.
I mean, maybe. I think I got my point across, though.
I think you did. No right way.
There is a wrong way, but there is no right way. Oh, man. All right. Well, maybe next week we'll do the cinematic universe of texting.
Right.
Make sure to give us a like, follow.
Subscribe.
Share us with your friends.
again, if you guys have any thoughts on what we should talk about, let us know. We hope you have a wonderful day, morning, night, whatever day, time it is that you are listening to us. And she just went bananas.
Check her across the room.
Hey, producer says time's up.
The producer said we're done. So we're going to call it.
We hope you guys have a great
whatever daytime, night,
day, you already whatever. Said this. Oh my God.
We're doing it again.
Just end my misery.
Okay, bye.
Bye.